The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a great Monday. It is game three of the World Series. That is coming up tonight. We will be leaving as soon as we're done here and heading down to the ballpark. Torrey Lovello and Corbin Carroll and Gabriel Moreno are meeting with media. We will be there for that. When I say we, Jordan Hamm is jumping into the fold now. Jordan Spurgeon will continue on, and myself. We will all be down there with different angles. In fact, Jordy put up a great bit he did yesterday on Max Scherzer. Randy Johnson throwing out the first pitch tonight. There's actually a Randy Johnson story that is unique and fun. If we can make that happen tonight after the first pitch, it's Randy and Luis Gonzalez throwing out the first pitch tonight. And of course, there's the game. Series is tied up at one. Ken Rosenthal is going to be with us on today's show. You may not have seen Kenny because the Diamondbacks have not been national in a long, long time. 2017 was the last time they're in the postseason. And Kenny wears bow ties. And you'll see him tonight. He's only like 5'4". I might step on him. But he's great. He writes for The Athletic, one of their senior writers. Knows his baseball stuff inside and out. And you may not know why the bow tie. Want to fill you in on why the bow tie. And the tie that he's wearing tonight may have an angle to the Diamondbacks. I will leave it at that. So you'll hear from Kenny Rosenthal and myself. That comes up in about 10 minutes or thereabouts. And then Goody is going to be with us. Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Knows media inside out. Has his opinions, his tilt-the-head analysis in a fun sort of way. I talked to Bill, just chop it up. The two of us are a couple of the war horses still around from 2001 World Series teams. We're going to talk about that and much, much more. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and the Desert Financial folks and their support. Whew. Couple games at the barn down in Texas, the feed store. We got back from there and yesterday just was able to get away. It's hard in our space because you're on. You're just seeing the story progress into the next day, the next day, the next day. And when Jordan Spurgeon and I were walking out of the barn in Texas the other night, it's like, the Diamondbacks are the better team. They should win this World Series, in my opinion. They're a Paul Sewald errant pitch away from being up 2-0. That's it. The Diamondbacks have more speed. The Diamondbacks' starting pitchers weren't viewed as strong, 1-2, as what the Rangers were throwing out in Eovaldi and Montgomery. Gallen and Merrill weren't viewed as strong. Tonight, Scherzer, that's a story in itself against Fott, and that's a story in itself. Storylines are great. Like, this is a great World Series. I don't know about you, if you're one of those people like, oh, you know, I just want Bryce Harper, and I just want Mookie Betts, and I want Aaron Judge, and just enough. What is wrong with this? Instead of always pointing out, well, these are two small market teams. Well, actually, they're not. Dallas is the fifth largest television market, and Phoenix is number 11. So these aren't small market teams. They're not. So that's not true. Just think that there's people in our industry that want it to be rinse, repeat. They may have their same haunts in Atlanta or Los Angeles or Boston or New York. Yeah, there's a bigger amount of people in those markets. It doesn't mean it's good baseball and having the same old story over and over and over. You know, that's not fun. And this is fun. I mean, I'm sitting here for the first time watching Garcia for the Rangers saying, oh my gosh, wow. Because I'm not rooting. I'm finding myself internally saying, hey, this would be really cool if the Diamondbacks did win their second World Series. But I just want it to be competitive, fun, back and forth sort of games. And even the other night when it was a blowout, it was kind of fun to, like, I don't know, poking fun at the Ranger fans because they're a little sensitive. I put up this thing on social, hey, honey, let's beat the traffic. It was in the eighth inning. I did it the night before, and the Rangers came back, so the Ranger fans pounded me for it. It's fine. Some of you don't like the fact I'm doing rally scruff because I should just stick to baseball. That's not happening. If you haven't seen what we do through the years, you know that we have to have a little bit of fun with this because sports is not brain surgery. Sports is the candy store. We're not going to talk about a mass shooting in Maine. We're not going to talk about what's going on overseas with Israel and Gaza. We're not going to talk about a Speaker of the House. We're not. And this is what it's all about for us. So we're going to screw around a little bit, right? In Texas, why are you wearing blue? Those are the Ranger colors. Because I don't work in local TV, thank God, anymore, where it's, well, you got to wear red. You got to cheerlead. No, you don't. No, we're not. Yay, go team. And the team stinks. Not in the case of the Diamondbacks. It'd be like me coming on here today and saying, man, the Cardinals are this close. What? Are you kidding me? And I did watch the game yesterday, and there's some things I like about them, the Cardinals. There's some things. There's some progress. I think they've hit on some draft picks. But, you know, all this rant to say is this is just fun. This is just what sports is meant to be, an escape. You're nervous about tonight's game. That's a good thing. Nerves are good. So, yeah, we'll be at the ballpark, lots of angles, lots of stuff on our social, on X at Brad Sussmat, on X at Sports360AZ. My Instagram, my daughter says, you're way too busy making posts. Please do not post so much. You're driving me crazy. Please do more stories. I will take her advice because she is younger than me and sees things differently from a media standpoint. So love it when my daughter gets into me about that stuff. And I'm over on Facebook too. So this is going to stick and continue. There's only a week left. And then the big decision will be win or lose. You get rid of it. Because there have been people like, keep it. It looks good. I don't know. Looks like I'm an extra in the movie Castaway, I think. I'm not sure about that. So that's what's going on the Diamondbacks front. Looking forward to being at the ballpark. And Ken Rosenthal, Goody, are coming up here in a couple of minutes. Briefly, a few other things. So Jonathan Gannon said yesterday after the loss that Kyler's not going to play next week in Cleveland. Trade deadline's tomorrow. Tilted my head a little bit on that. We have the Lions playing Las Vegas tonight. It's not a bad game, but most everybody's going to be watching the Diamondbacks. The Suns had their season opener, and Devin Booker hasn't played in a couple games. Bradley Beal hasn't played, and I am just A-okay, fine with that. It's October. Please get back to me around March 25th. I don't care if they play. I don't care if they don't play until March 25th or thereabouts. Don't care. The NBA regular season, as hard as they may try, doesn't mean a damn thing. It doesn't. I need players that are fresh for about 10 to 12 games in the regular season just to figure each other out. And then I just need them to go out in the grind of the postseason of the NBA. This doesn't need to be the A-list person on the Broadway play when it doesn't matter in the middle of July, but it matters around the holiday season when everybody is there to see the Broadway play. It's where we are in professional sports. Load management's a real deal. That's why I love baseball. There's no load management going on with these guys. Brandon Pfaadt's got to be out there and has been through the ringer this year. You kidding me? You try going three trips back and forth to the minor leagues, then to the major leagues, and keep your head up, and now you're pitching. He pitched in Game 7 of the NLCS. He's pitching in Game 3 of the World Series tonight. Give me a better story than that. What else? The Michigan cheating stuff. I was talking with Wilner this morning. I'll bring John on. I taped it with him. I'm not going to do it today, but I'm going to bring John on later this week. The Michigan football cheating scandal has so many layers to it. So many layers to it that I find interesting. Did watch some college football on Saturday. Watched the end of the U of A game. U of A is going to go to a bowl game. And Arizona State is close. They're about, I don't know, half dozen plays away from having a few more victories. And they took care of Washington State the other night. Kenny's got them going in the right direction. And this is Battle of Arizona Avenue week, even on the high school end. This is Chandler against Hamilton. This is the biggest deal in our state. And also this week, it's Centennial against Liberty. Centennial and Liberty may be the two best high school teams, the best programs this year. So we just have a lot going on. I'm leaving off stuff too. There's so much meat on the bone. Let's get into the World Series talk with Ken Rosenthal and then Goody Kuntz. That is coming up straight ahead. All right, I'm super excited because I think this is a place, well, I know it's a place the Sussmats have gone to through the years with our four kids, and as they were going through sports, and as they would grow, and the soccer cleats would no longer be ones that they could wear because their feet grew out of them, basketball, football, all the sports that all four of our kids did, we would go to Goodwill. We would donate them to Goodwill. You know, you pull right up. It's really simple. And you take all the sporting equipment, the bats, the basketballs, the rackets that you're not using any longer, and someone else out there can use them. And that is why Goodwill should be top of mind. If you're in that space where you're like us, where the kids are now just starting to get into sports, and all of a sudden that size 4 shoe becomes, what happened? Why are they a size 5 overnight? What are we going to do with these shoes? Or where are we going to go to find shoes? Cost of equipment is expensive. Think of Goodwill of Arizona and think of donating. Think of donating. Really good people, Goodwill, we appreciate their partnership, their support. You should support them. Or if you're looking for those gently used sporting equipment items, stop into Goodwill, over 100 locations in Arizona. All right, as promised, Ken Rosenthal, nice enough to take time out. Game 3 coming up later tonight. We will be at the stadium, of course, Kenny, with the Athletics senior writer there, and you'll see him MLB on Fox. I don't know if you talk about your bow tie in advance, but there's a whole new audience here in Arizona because we just haven't seen any postseason games in forever. They may be wondering, what is the story, Kenny? I've seen it through the years, but why don't you just start with that? I want to give you that platform.
Real quickly, I'll try to get through it. 2010, David Hill, who was then running Fox Sports, said, I want you to start wearing a bow tie. And I did not like the idea. He wanted to distinguish me. And I thought my work should distinguish me. That's the way it works. But television's different. So I put it on for the postseason that year. And then that offseason, a guy named Dahani Jones, used to be an NFL linebacker, approached me. He had a nonprofit. And this nonprofit, called the Bowtie Cause, partners with all these different charitable organizations, all kinds of organizations, actually. And he said, would you like to start wearing our bow ties, each one to represent a different charity? And I thought, well, Fox is going to make me do this again. So I might as well get control of it. And more important, I might as well do it for a good reason. So each bow tie represents a different charity. I've been doing it for all of these years now. And when I don't wear a bow tie, if I show up in an event with a necktie, a normal tie, people say, hey, hey, where's the bow tie? So long story short, David Hill was right. It did distinguish me. It did brand me, if you want to use that language. And I have to thank him.
Tonight, will you, in advance, so fans here in Phoenix or around the state who don't know what it's about, what are you wearing tonight?
I haven't checked yet, but I believe it is for Williams syndrome. And this actually has a connection to the Diamondbacks. Their assistant general manager, Amiel Sade, has a daughter with Williams syndrome. So the original connection was made through Amiel. He actually asked me to wear this bow tie, or at least get a bow tie made for this particular cause. And that's what I'll be doing.
Good stuff there. Ken Rosenthal with us for a few minutes. And that is a part of when you see him tonight. For a lot of you that have not seen Kenny's work, you're now going to see it here on display with the Diamondbacks. Senior writer with The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. They do terrific work. MLB on Fox reporter. 2 games in, what are you saying to yourself? Boy, I just did not expect this angle to emerge. Because before the World Series, everybody's making predictions, Kenny. Everybody's saying this angle's 2 games in. What is the angle that's jumping out of you now? Like, I didn't think this was going to happen.
Ooh, that's a good question. I can't say I'm that surprised by anything, but I have not seen the Diamondbacks as much as some other teams. And to see them in action, in person, and to see how they play, it does jump out at you. And it's the defense. It's, of course, the contact-oriented approach. And mostly it's the pressure that they apply to different opponents and how successful they are at it. So that has been something that I can't say it's a surprise. I've been well aware of it. But to see it transpire in these kinds of games, the most meaningful games of the season, it's been quite impressive.
The young guns on this team, have you gotten to know Moreno and Carroll and Thomas enough to maybe come away? Corbin's gotten a lot of the attention, obviously, so is a Rookie of the Year guy. But these young guns here in Arizona, your impressions and maybe on an individual basis?
Well, they're all impressive. And actually, I first met Alec Thomas during the WBC in Phoenix, I believe it was, when he was playing for Team Mexico. And I had not met him before. I knew his dad, who used to be a strength and conditioning coach with the White Sox. So he's a guy that obviously has a ton of talent. He's had his ups and downs this year. And it looks like now he's kind of putting it together. Corbin Carroll is clearly a superstar in the making, if not that already. He's got a great way about him. Humble, serious, all the things that you look for in star players. Now, Moreno, I do not know as well, but that trade is now despised in Toronto. They fleecing. Hate the it's fans. Do. And Dalton Farshow, I still believe, is going to be a good player. And people here saw him. He is a good player. But with Moreno emerging as something of a star and Lourdes Gurriel Jr., the season that he had, you could see why people in Toronto are upset.
There's people that are saying in baseball, talking heads, that Lenny Dykstra is Corbin Carroll. Do you see that?
I see it a little bit. Dykstra was not as fast as Corbin Carroll, if I recall. And people say that because of the body type. That's how people in baseball generally think. Well, he looks like this guy, so he must be that guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Corbin Carroll is quite the same type. Lenny Dykstra also was a creation somewhat of performance-enhancing drugs. Corbin Carroll is not. And Lenny later talked about this and all that. But I see a unique player, and he is a smaller type. I don't know if he's as muscular as Lenny because, you know. but he is really fast, really talented, really good defensively. And, again, he's a star.
And I've been here since the team started, and he reminds me a little bit of Steve Finley. Steve was bigger, but Steve and Corbin's much faster than Finn's. But in terms of covering ground and making things happen defensively, just, you know, Steve did not care much for the attention. Corbin does not care much for the attention, as I'm sure you found out. So I see a little bit of Steve Finley in him. I don't know if you see that either.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Steve Finley, because I covered him in Baltimore at the start of his career when he was a baby. And the guy who does draw comparisons to Steve Finley is on the other team, Evan Carter. Mm-hmm. Evan Carter actually has a similar build to Steve Finley. Bruce Bochy has said he kind of reminds me of Finley. Bochy managed Finley. Now, Finley grew into a lot of power, and maybe Evan Carter will as well, but that's the more fitting comp, perhaps.
Before I get you out of here, tonight, you come into this with Max Scherzer. Who knows what we're going to see? You come into this with Brandon Pfaadt at the start of, I mean, in July, he gets the phone call from Brent Strom saying you're going to pitch big games for us. And here he is on this stage. What a terrific matchup for the fans. I think for yourself in the role that you have tonight, like, you've got it laid up for you. A little bit about tonight's matchup.
It is interesting. You're absolutely right. And you have a veteran that has accomplished great things in Max Scherzer, but who is not totally himself right now. He's still building back up from his injury. And you have Pfaadt, who is a guy that has really come on, and in game 7 of the NLCS, could you be any better? So I don't expect either of them to go too deeply into this game. It's just not the way these games are played right now with pitchers who are in their position, which makes it all the more fascinating, because we have a bullpen game most likely for both tomorrow. And this thing could get a little hairy over the next couple of nights.
Last question. And Torrey Lovello, impressions of you dealing with Torrey and the job he's done here and so far in the World Series, just dealing with Torrey.
I've known Torrey a long time. Torrey's one of my favorites. And he's one of my favorites because he is so easy to deal with. And he is so expansive in his answers and entertaining and colorful and all of that. And what's really impressive here is the Diamondbacks as a whole. And the fact that they stuck with Torrey Lovello even when losing 110 games. And it reminds me of a different thing that they did, which was not going into a tank mode. They've gone against the grain. They did it by keeping Lovello. They did it by not tanking. And now they're getting their just rewards. And it's refreshing to see it. They have not been a team that has necessarily acted in traditional fashion, or at least the way most teams act today. And I applauded both moves in my own way at the time. I thought it was great that they didn't tank like some other teams, didn't go all the way south. They didn't like to lose, and rightly so. And with Lovello, another team certainly could have said, or another general manager, this is it. But Mike Hazen basically looked in the mirror and said, you know what? This is on me. It's not on him. I'm not giving him players. So long story short, it's kind of cool to see the way they've done it and the way it has all worked out for them.
Good stuff. I'll see you tonight at the ballpark. I know you're running. I'll let you go. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Ken Rosenthal with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, I want to bring voices and faces that are familiar with the 2001 World Series, because some of us are still here, and some of us are still doing it, and Goody's one of those. And of course, we're going to talk present-day broadcast, past broadcast, Bill Goody-Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, Goody at the movies when it's appropriate, Goody on media when it's appropriate, which is all the time. All right. Did you find yourself saying, hey, I remember in 2001 this happened? Because I have found myself doing that more than once so far in this world, actually this whole postseason. So have you found the same, Bill?
Well, in game one, when they blew the save, I did.
BK just popped right up.
Exactly. Whenever you're covering something on deadline and there's a team of people doing it, of course you have – now you, I can't even remember how we got this done before, but now of course there's this giant stream of messages from people, you know, the entire team doing it, and anybody who was here then just started saying, "Oh no, BKM," which was, you know, I've written some stuff and I've talked to some other folks about 2001, and one of the great moments in Arizona sports history, no question, is Randy Johnson coming out of the bullpen in Game 7. Mm-hmm. Because nobody thought it was going to happen. You know, it was a big surprise. He pitched the night before. He was a giant guy to begin with, you know, an imposing presence. But the thing that had to happen for him to come out of there was that meant Kim wasn't going to pitch. And it kind of, I remember even at the time, a friend said, man, I feel kind of bad for Kim. But on the other hand, he probably is pretty happy that he's got a World Series ring. So, you know,
there's so true. It was a big sigh of relief when Randy won. It was like, well, I'm in Philadelphia last week and it's game 7. And I remember asking Torrey, because he said that Gallen would be available for game 7. And I said, so some of us here in this room remember Randy Johnson and would Merrill Kelly be available? And he kind of sat up. He's like, oh man, that was such a great baseball moment.
You know?
It's the only time it's happened.
Something bad had to happen for that to – something – that's something that I think that people have to remind themselves. Like when you, and I have to remind myself, when a team gets down, you know, something for the things that you really like, the great memories that you have, probably something bad had to happen to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, like when the Red Sox won finally won the World Series, they were down, you know, I mean, they had to come back. The Diamondbacks were in 2001. Yeah, they were up 2-0, but then they were down 3-2. I mean, you kind of got to get – it's a long slog, particularly something like yes. this that's kind of stretched out over a while. But it is hard to remember that in the moment. And I think, honestly, I wrote this the other day. Game one ruined happiness and trust for me for the rest of the series. Saturday night they had this huge lead, and I didn't believe it until the third out.
It's kind of like when you talk about the long slog of it. So this is where this came for me. It's like, okay, I'm going to go into a postseason. I'm just going to screw around a little bit, and they're not going to get past Milwaukee, and they're not going to get past the Dodgers. They're not going to, and all of a sudden it's turned into this, you know, rally beard thing that was just meant as, okay, I'm a hockey player just enjoying it. Because you do, this is not complaining about our industry, but when you're, like the next 3 days, Bill and I have to be on. Fans have to be on, we get it, but it's going to be 3 days in a row of peaks and valleys and pivots, and that's what the last month has been like. And if you're in it every day, it is a mental grind. These players, I remember in 99, it's 99. I'm doing the games, the pre and the post on KTAR, and I'm walking in. I just start crying one day. I start crying. What is going on? I go sit down on the bench, and Matt Williams and Jay and Gonzo come over, and we're just sitting there talking. I said, I had the darndest thing happen to me. I said, what happened? I walked in here today. I just started crying. I said, oh, you're a baseball player. that's we're like that all the time. And so it's the mental grind of what happened the other night. And I think, Bill, the angle of fans here for the next 3 nights here in Phoenix, they have not experienced anything like this in a long time.
And some never. I mean, a good percentage never. I mean, there's a lot of churn in the valley. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people who are going to the games now weren't there then. Yeah, I mean, I talk about a renewing my respect for baseball writers and players. I mean, dang. Now I know that over the course of 162 games, you have mechanisms to kind of pace yourself, you know, that, you know, some players will take some days off and stuff like that and rest a little bit. Not now. I mean, like you say, it's full bore from here on out. And, you know, but I think that once you get to, again, it's one of those things that once you get to the end of it, it makes you appreciate it more.
And how have you found the media coverage? Let's just go back to the week before they make it in to where it is now, because then from my view, it was like, these guys don't belong here. And then it's set up in baseball as a joke. And now it's a who cares World Series because it's two teams that aren't in big markets. How have you taken all that in your job and your role there with Gannett?
Not very well. I should say, I'll say this. I think that TBS and Fox have done a really good job. I think they're good. I know some people think that, you know, Bob Costas is rooting for the Dodgers or that. No, he's not. I mean, he's just not. And you know, you hear that, and I'm sure, you know, all you had to do is go down Twitter and you see Diamondbacks fans hating Costas, but just below that, Dodgers fans were hating him too. So, I mean, you know, all that with a grain of salt, but I think that the coverage has been good. I think the analysis has been good. Sometimes I think Davis and Smoltz get paid by the word, but they don't really subscribe to that Vin Scully, let the moment speak philosophy. But that said, there are two different things going on here. There's also a national media, sports media, that's covering this, aside from just the game broadcast. The broadcasts aren't really covering it, right? I mean, they're just kind of telling you what's going on during the game.
Right, right.
But in terms of coverage of this thing, it's infuriating to me. I think I called it the old white guy sports writer industrial complex or something. It's not just that they didn't recognize what's happened here. And by the way, for Texas too, not just for the Diamondbacks, it's not just that they haven't, it's that they refuse to, and they still refuse to, because they've gotten this storyline that, instead of saying, oh, wow, here are two teams. This is great. Two teams from the wild card really playing their butts off here. And they've made it and they've beaten all these teams. It's not that they've beaten these 100 win teams. It's these 100 win teams have lost to these nobodies. And that drives me crazy. And the other thing is, I think I'm going to scream if I hear this one more time. You know, you can't even name one of the players on the Diamondbacks. You know what? I've been a reporter for a long time. You've been a reporter for a long time. I go into a lot of stories, not just sports, but any other kind of stories where I don't know stuff. Do your damn job.
Yeah, learn.
Learn the names of the. It's not hard. It's there's not that many of them. They're all fairly charismatic people. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know them personally, but I enjoy watching them. They all bring something different. Same with the Rangers. I mean, it ain't that hard to do your job. But it doesn't fit this narrative that from the beginning, the old time people, their narrative was going to be, you know, let's go back to, you know, you just win the pennant and go to the World Series or whatever. You know, there should only be four teams. And it's like, you know, no, it's just not the way it works anymore. I think the playoffs have been great. I mean, how could you not love the series against the Phillies? How could, you know, the sweeps were fun. But what are you really going to remember? You're going to remember that nail-biting crazy thing. It's the other thing that I can't stand.
that's why I had you on. It's like I'm going to just lob this up here and boom.
If we're ever at a game or a movie or whatever, and if you ever hear me utter the phrase, but I don't know if it's good for baseball, just free reign, smack me in the face. Now we're on the record. Just go ahead and do it. That drives me crazy. For the one thing, it's not your job in the media to be the guardian of baseball. You're not the commissioner. You're somebody who covers it. You're not part of it. You're outside it. And for another, how can this not be good for baseball? How could, I mean, I was, you know, I root for a good story, but I
Yep.
You know, of course, I want the Diamondbacks to do well. It's good for our business. It's good for your business. It's good. And it's fun. It's fun to have your hometown team doing well. So, of course, I was, you know, disappointed that they lost the game one. But what a game.
Yeah.
How is that bad for baseball? These two no teams of nobodies, these two horrible teams, put on one of the best game ones in forever. It drives me nuts. Anyway, you got me going.
Have you found, that's why I had you on, Goody's with us for a few minutes. We're just chopping up media before game three tonight. And it, of course, will be on Fox and we will be able to check it out. Have you found yourself, I found myself where, and this may be you and I together, and I think a few guys still here in town that have been around since the inception of the franchise. I have not found myself like applauding, because that's not appropriate. But I have found myself saying, you know, 25 years ago when I first was around the team, I would not be waving the flag as much. Now I'm sitting here, like, as you said, it's good for business, but I think it's good for the community. And I'm seeing that benefit more than, boy, I got to play it down the middle and hit it straight. I am seeing where schools are having their kids rally around something positive in a time where you could focus on a mass shooting again and a war that's going on across the globe and even here in our country. I mean, all the negative stuff that's going on, that's what sports is supposed to be, is a distraction. So I found myself, Bill, in all this saying, yeah, I remember Andy Bennis and Kelly Stinnett and George Fabregas and all those guys, but I'm also now like, this is really good for us as a society to have something to latch on to. And so I'm waving the flag a little bit more than I think I would have 25 years ago. You find yourself doing the same thing?
Well, I'll say one thing that's going on here is you got 25 years of history behind you now too with this team. You know, back then, you know, I didn't cover them every day, but I was around them a lot, and they still said they were a novelty, right? I mean, it was great, but they were new. You know, and the big part of the story was, oh, look how fast this happened, right? And now the story is, look how long it's been since it happened. So there's a lot of
it's really interesting, Bill, because like the whole thing about we need a new stadium. I'm thinking, and they do, but I'm thinking about Mary Rose Wilcox getting shot in the ass at a council meeting. It's that quick.
But to your point, I find myself getting nervous and having a stomach ache because I must be rooting for him. I'm not a big fan, and I know that you know this because we've talked about it before. I'm not a big fan of on-air talent wearing Diamondbacks jerseys while they're covering games. I'm not fond of, you know, go Diamondbacks, you know, ending every broadcast and stuff like that. I don't think it's certainly not the job of the sportscasters. You know, morning shows are a little bit different animal, as you know. I mean, they kind of blur the line between kind of news and features and even some sort of advocacy kind of things. But they, it's like, to your point, it's really nice to have something positive take over the news for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the bad stuff will be there when this is done. You know, the people who like that, don't worry. We'll get back to it. Yeah. It's just...
We got a House Speaker nominated finally. Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, we'll, you know, things will continue apace or whatever, but I think it's really kind of... I mean, it's as you know, I mean, it's the sort of the beauty of sports. It's like really fun to get inordinately invested in something that ultimately doesn't matter. It just is, because you put everything into it and you're so you're rooting your team on and you really want them to win. And even if they don't win, you're disappointed, but it ain't the end of the world. You know, as Cubs fans used to always say, there's always next year. I mean, that's why it's fun. And it's, you know, all this other stuff that we have to be invested in so much of the time. The stakes are a little higher. I mean, you know, there might not be a next year, you know, for some of that stuff. So I think it's just, it's really, I mean, you know, the focus of this entire state at 5:03 today is going to be on this baseball game.
Well, I think, Bill, I'll just jump in on you on this, is There's a big segment of the population, I think, that has just gotten into the story in the last week. And I'm only going off of that in my circles and seeing my social, like, you know, in Texas, I'm wearing a blue shirt. You should be wearing red. You know, you're rooting for, shut up. I don't care what color my shirt is. I'm not sitting there saying that. So your morning show thing. But I do think this story has just kind of caught a lot of people because the team's been so bad, 110 losses 2 years ago, and they've been so bad for so long, and that they're just now starting to come into this. Like, they're just, I had Ken Rosenthal on earlier. I talked to him about his bow tie. A lot of people don't even know what the bow tie is about. They don't even know who Ken Rosenthal is. And this team, you couldn't name around town. I don't think you could name more than a handful of them. Many people in my circles didn't even know who they were outside of Torrey Lovello, and even that was a stretch.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this many times before, that after you do this long enough, you shouldn't go into it rooting for a team. I think that media has changed a lot now. I think that, you know, a lot of reporters want selfies with players and stuff. I think it's bad. I think it's bad for the business, for both businesses. But that said, as we've said before, what you really root for is a good story. And the nice thing in this case is this is a good story. This is a legitimate story. And it is a real legitimately good story. The two interests just in this case kind of overlap. I mean, it's good for business. Yeah, that if they keep winning, and, you know, maybe we'll sell more papers and you'll get more listeners and viewers, and maybe the, you know, whatever they. But it is a legitimate story. You don't have to root for the team to root for what a good story this is, if that distinction makes sense.
Sure. No, there's people that will work in cable news and I'll be, how is business? You know, and they're producers or they're front facing talent. Oh, we had a really bad month, but man, did we had a great March. Well, yeah, because there was a war, and there was a plane crash, and there was this, and it was that. And there's media companies even here in town that are biding for the Diamondbacks television rights. And so they're putting every last bit of resource out there to say, see, you should come do business with us. And that happened with the Suns, and that's happened with the Cardinals. And it's the business side where I kind of look at our industry and say, okay, they're all wearing red. They're all saying this product's really good. The team's not good. It's just a media negotiation. This is just pure business 101, which is really unfortunate because there's zero journalism going on here right now. And that's not here. That's not this case right now.
No, this is a legitimate story. It's like they went out there to cheer for the team and they accidentally committed some journalism. You know, it's like
that's great.
because it's a real story. And by the way, it's a real story on both sides. You know, the Rangers are getting the kind of a dose of the same thing from the national media. You know, they have a couple of players that big baseball fans are probably a little more familiar with. But, you know, ignorance has never impressed me. I've never been impressed by people who say things like, I won't use a cell phone for, you know, I'm not going to do this and such on a computer. And it's like, okay, then don't, not, whatever. But it's the same thing. It's like, I'm not going to bother to learn the names of the players on the two teams that are still playing, the only two teams that are still playing, the two teams that are in the World Series. And it's just mystifying to me because, I mean, this is kind of a new thing. Usually you like the underdog, right? I mean, maybe it would be better if one team did win 100 games and one team, you know, won 84. I don't know. Maybe David and Goliath, and maybe David and Goliath would be a little more interesting than two Davids. I don't know. But it seems like the two Davids are pretty evenly matched, and they both knocked off some Goliaths. So they deserve to be here, and they deserve the respect of the media that should at least learn their names.
but Bill, it's easier to cover Bryce Harper and Trey Turner. It's just easier to cover Mookie Betts. It's easier to cover them.
Yeah. They're great. I mean, they're fun to cover.
I know.
But you know what? They're playing golf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fun to cover them right now. I'm guessing it's more fun to, you know.
You and I are together on this, but I think what you're saying is I think there's a segment within our industry that just wants it to be very easy.
Well, and
work at it a little bit. And so I just say, get out. If you want it to be easy, get out. It doesn't mean that you should be taking up a seat or writing still and you hate what you do, because there are those people.
I've always thought this. I'm nobody's boss. I don't want to be anybody's boss. I shouldn't be anybody's boss. But I've always thought that, and I think this is what's at work here. Anybody who says, well, we should do it this way because that's the way we've always done it, should be fired on the spot. I mean, you're done. You're gone. I mean, and you know that. You look at how you've morphed your career and you've moved from one thing to another because you saw the way things were going. And if you just keep doing the same old thing.
There were people in Philadelphia in our industry that were being told that they might get pulled to go do the Suns season opener or the Cardinals game in Philadelphia. Okay. I'm hearing this and I'm like, you've got to be bleeping kidding me. That really? This is where you push all your cards in on the table. I didn't have a travel budget line for Diamondbacks playoffs. I figured it out. We've been at every single game. We've had to book flights at the last minute. And it's just, you know, if we're over here doing it, I'm hearing that, well, we got to be at the Suns because they get more clicks. Like, get out. Just get out. You know,
the NFL's an outlier because they override everything. But
the team stinks, though. What? Are you kidding me? We got to get you back there to go to Seattle for a team that stinks?
No, you don't. You have to. What you want is like what the Fox crew had over the weekend, where, you know, like the World Series is.
Yeah, there was right next door.
Yeah, it was literally next door to where the Cowboys were. Yeah. So that actually worked out pretty well for them. That probably saved them on the travel, which I don't know. I mean, it's a real story, and it's something that media needs to, you know, in the appropriate way, needs to get behind. And I think they are. I think national media. I thought honestly, you know, I listen to podcasts and I read stuff and all that stuff.
Sure.
And I thought at this point, it's 1-1. Game one is great. Game two. Good if you're a Diamondbacks fan. Maybe probably not great if you're, you know, doing ratings for Fox or whatever because it was a blowout. But at this point, I thought, you know, that whole story about these two teams of nobodies, what are they doing here? I thought it would be over. It's not. It's evidently that's it. We're just going to ride this until the end. And it's like, what are they going to do? Put an asterisk by whoever wins? I mean, They treat it like it was some kind of like strike here or something. You know, it's bizarre to me and it's infuriating.
All right. I'm going to let you off that. I feel like our blood pressure has gone up.
Yeah. I will
see you at the ballpark over the next few days. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's Bill Goodykuntz. You can find all of his content, AZ Central, Gannett, USA Today, national media correspondent, covers all, knows all, tells all. And usually we'd be doing Halloween scary movies because Bill loves those, but we're not. So we're back with more after this timeout.